This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kaniton and Noel Lim. It is 7.06 in the morning, Wednesday the 5th of May, and in about 15 minutes we're going to be discussing efforts to tackle corruption and misconduct in the civil service with Dr. Mohamed Mohan, President of Transparency International Malaysia. But first, we're taking a look at how markets closed overnight.
US markets, the Dow closed up 0.1%. S&P 500, however, was down 0.7% and Nasdaq was down 1.9%.
And before that, if we take a look over at Asia, Nikkei and Shanghai Composite were down 0.8%. The Hang Seng was up 0.7%. The STI was down 0.2%, and so was the FBMK LCI. And actually, I'd like to correct myself. If I remember correctly, the Nikkei was closed yesterday, so the 0.8% would have been from end of last week.
The Nikkei was closed for Greenery Day.
Correct, and it was closed on Monday for Constitution Day.
Amazing. So this morning, for some insight into global markets, we are speaking to Michael Lai, Executive Director of Wealth Advisory at OCBC Bank Malaysia. Michael, thanks so much for joining us today. So last night, US equities ended softer, particularly the tech-heavy Nasdaq. Is this the end of the rally that we've been seeing, or are markets just perhaps taking a breather?
Good morning. Yeah, I was looking at the overnight action. The tech has done very well over the course of 2020 and even well into the first quarter of this year. So I think it's not inconceivable that they're taking a bit of a breather. If you're tracking results so far, results seems to be quite reasonably fair, and some companies has done better than the rest, but generally it has been a rather positive result season. Besides the Nasdaq, I think market was probably a little bit spooked by some comments from the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, about interest rates. But she actually came out to correct that notion about raising interest rates this year. So I think that was partly because of that comment on interest rate from Treasury Secretary as well.
At the beginning of the year, Michael, analysts were more bullish on Asian stocks than the US and the dollar. But given the new waves of COVID-19 in this region, do you still share this sentiment?
We've always maintained that each of the countries handling of the COVID as well as the vaccination was really going to determine the recovery. That definitely that seems to have coming out to be correct in a sense. I mean, we are now have Selangor going into MCO 3.0. And this is not just limited to Malaysia. I mean, quite a few countries within the region are also going into renewed lockdown. And you compare that to what is happening in the UK and what's happening in the US, where 50% of the population are already vaccinated. So the notion of recovery will still be there. I think the pace of recovery will really depend on whether we have to deal with further lockdowns or it's going to be, we're going to go towards herd immunity. So of course, from where we stand today, then the developed markets are definitely looking a lot better relative to Asia.
So on that note, Michael, as the virus cases do rise in Southeast Asia, do you see the current rotation play into cyclical shifting back into defensive sectors?
I think if you look at the performance of the US markets, where your S&P and your Dow Jones are doing about 14% this year, whereas the Nasdaq is about 8.5%, I think the rotation strategy is still very much still in play. I think the performance already speaks for itself that some of these sectors that has not done so well in 2020 are now beginning to reflect much better fundamentals as the vaccination is progressing very well. So I think in both the US and developed markets, I think the rotation strategy will still be very much in play. Simply because there is visibility of how the economy is going to reopen and there will be some normalcy back into daily lives. Whereas I think on other parts where vaccination is not progressing as quickly and there are hiccups, then some of these rotation plays will take a little bit longer to pan out. Obviously, investors who are already implemented this strategy would just have to be a little bit more patient. I think eventually there will be much better vaccination progress in this part of the world.
So, Michael, I mean, as you mentioned, Malaysia has imposed the MCO in Selangor with no inter-district travel and no dine-ins. What is going to be the economic impact of these restrictions?
Well, we know that lockdowns are terrible for economic activities. It's a huge demand destruction that you see when everyone is locked down, factories are not operating. However, 2 weeks of lockdown, probably something that we could deal with. I think is really how we deal with it and whether we continue to have extended lockdowns in terms of the period of time, as well as whether this extends to other parts of the country. So at this point in time, I think it is still okay to have 2 weeks lockdown. I mean, I think it is very good. We know how to deal with this. We know how to bring it down again. I think if everyone were to continue to keep to social distancing and not to avoid large gatherings, I think that really would help in terms of the numbers. So at this point, I would think that the 5.5% forecast, it's still intact. However, whether this will still be intact if things do not progress well after the lockdown, then there would be some concerns in terms of whether the 5.5% is at risk. Yes.
So Bank Negara meets this Thursday. Given a slight increase in March inflation numbers, is there any pressure on the central bank to raise interest rates yet?
I wouldn't think so. I think if you look at some of the numbers in Malaysia, we are still in a rather benign inflationary environment. Yes, I think oil prices has recovered because of the market discounting much better fundamentals. But however, I think by and large, inflation continues to be pretty tame. And we don't expect there to be concern with regards to inflation from the central bank.
Michael, thanks so much for joining us today. That was Michael Lai, Executive Director of Wealth Advisory at OCBC Bank, giving us some thoughts on international markets as well as the latest developments here in Malaysia. So he doesn't really see that there will be any pressure on Bank Negara to raise interest rates at their meeting this Thursday due to the, what did he call it, a benign inflationary environment?
Yeah, beginning of the year, a lot of investors or analysts were rather bullish on Asian stocks because the pandemic was rather a mess in the US, so to speak. But the US has, gone really far ahead on their vaccination program. And Asia looks like it's struggling with some countries still having lockdowns. Of course, much depends on the capacity of governments to fight the pandemic. And hopefully Malaysia will just get out of this as soon as possible. And for now, we just need to be very patient.
Speaking of COVID-19 and lockdowns, let's talk about drug maker Pfizer. They reported better than expected first quarter earnings with both profit and revenue beating analyst expectations. Revenue came in at $14.6 billion, above the projected $13.5 billion by analysts, and earnings per share came in at 93 cents versus the expected a number of 77 cents by analysts polled. Sales of COVID-19 vaccine accounted for roughly 24% of its revenue for the quarter, amounting to around $3.5 billion, and the company expects full-year sales of $26 billion from the vaccine, up from its previous forecast of about $15 billion.
Quite the significant jump there from their initial estimate. So Pfizer's expecting an adjusted pre-tax profit in the higher 20% range of revenue for the vaccine. And additionally, they announced plans to file for full US approval of its COVID vaccine at the end of this month. Now, if the FDA signs off, then the company will be able to market the shot directly to consumers, because if we remember, in the US, Pfizer is only approved there for emergency use. Now, CEO Albert Bourla said that he also also expects an increase in vaccinations once the FDA authorizes the shots for kids aged 12 to 15, which is expected to happen this month.
Yes, and very quickly, another piece of news here. Ride-hailing company Lyft also beat street expectations for its first quarter results, reporting lower than expected losses and higher revenue. So loss per share was 35 cents versus 53 cents per share. And I think there was a growth in active riders from 12.8 million to 13.5 million in the quarter, signaling a rebound in economic activity.
Yeah, so I guess people there were feeling a little bit more comfortable moving about as the vaccination rollouts proceed. So Lyft has reaffirmed its expectations that it will reach profitability on an adjusted EBITDA basis by the third quarter of the year. They'd originally set a goal to reach the benchmark by the end of the year. So this is slightly ahead of schedule. Now, Lyft also issued guidance for its second quarter, telling investors that it expects revenue of between 680 and 700 million. US dollars. So that is a 12 to 15% increase quarter over quarter and would represent growth of more than 100% year on year.
Yeah, now it will be interesting to see what Uber numbers are when they announce earnings later tonight, early tomorrow morning on our side, because they are beginning to see ride-hailing demand. There will be a lot of parallels, I think, in terms of consumer demographics and how they and the demand situation. I think everyone's going to be paying attention to whether Uber will post its 12th consecutive quarter loss per share, and whether the timeline to profitability is updated on that part. It will be that's something to pay attention to, I guess.
Certainly. So this is something that we will be bringing you updates as we get as the earnings start to come out. But right now we're about to head into some messages, and then up next we'll be speaking with Dr. Mohamed Mohan of Transparency International Malaysia on corruption trends here in the country. So be sure to keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.